Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. And we have a special show for you today. We are bringing in live in studio right across from me. We have the head coach from, now we can say, the state champion Canfield Cardinals, Mike Pavlansky. Mike, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate you inviting me, Justin. Thank you so much.
Now, I got to ask you, you've been on our show before. Yes. You and we had a ton of the Pavlansky family, which was so awesome. How does it feel now from a year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever it was, to now say Canfield Cardinals state champions?
Obviously, it's special. There's no doubt about that. But the reason I'm sitting here is because of the kids that played for us in the past few years, and certainly our senior class and our assistant coaches. Absolute tremendous group of guys, and fortunate to be around them.
It's so awesome. And I know the whole community of Canfield, and let's not forget South Range too, which technically is in Canfield Township, mm-hmm. which is so awesome. So congratulations to both teams. So Mike, I was looking at your guys' schedule. You know, you go 14-1, you know, and obviously run through the playoffs, 5-0, and you guys had a plus 300 point differential this year, which you didn't even know.
No,
you know, you guys just play well, you know, week in, week out. What made this team special? And I know that's a really generic question, but what made this team special?
There's just so many factors that go into it. Number one, the plus 300. First off, you got to give credit to our defense. Mm-hmm. Wally Hurley, his defensive staff, Joe Ignazio, Dan DiGiacomo, Cameron Tereshotti, Nick Roberts shows up on a Friday night and helps run our sideline huddle for the defense. And secondly, our special teams. Our special teams played the field position game well all year long. That's the reason why that's there. What made this group special? Number one, we had 28 seniors. Mm-hmm. 28 seniors, probably the largest class we've had in a long, long time at Canfield. And why you have 28? You have 28 because they enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. You got 28 because they enjoy the game of football. And you got 28 because they compete like a Dickens on a Friday night. Just love competition, no matter what they're doing. And with those 28, there's obviously not enough playing time to go around for everybody.
Sure.
And right. So you have players that are seniors that didn't play and certainly didn't play as much as they wanted to play if they were on the field. Mm-hmm. But they bought into the role of the team. The team came first, and we had a lot of great juniors that played for us more than some seniors. We had some sophomores play more than some seniors. But our senior class, as long as it was going to help them be successful, mm-hmm. They were in for it.
That's great. And, you know, I've heard coaches say this in the past, too. It's not necessarily how much playing time you have. It's how bought into the team you are. Mm-hmm. So what was your message to this team? Obviously, you guys have made runs in the past.
Right.
What was your message to this team before this season?
The same message, Justin. You know, the team's going to come first. We're going to do what's best for our team, mm-hmm. In decision-making as far as, you know, depth charts and who's where and who's getting moved and things such as that. And, you know, our guys understand, especially our seniors, the seniors know in their final year of football at Canfield, the best they need to be is at practice. Mm-hmm. If they have great practices and compete hard in practice, then our juniors and sophomores are going to compete hard in practice.
No doubt.
And then, you know, you get good results on a Friday night. And that certainly happened this year.
All right. I'm going to have you list in alphabetical order all 28 of your stuff. I'm just kidding.
That would challenge a young person's mind, let alone a senior citizen like me.
No, you're great. You're great. So, Coach, you know, you guys played 9 regular season games, had the one canceled. However, right in the middle of your schedule there, you had the little like slip up to Cheney, mm-hmm. and you had an overtime game with Dover that you guys won in overtime, mm-hmm. back-to-back weeks. After experiencing that loss to Cheney, you guys mm-hmm. went on a run. Yes. You're undefeated the rest mm-hmm. of the season. What did you guys learn from that game mm-hmm. that kind of got you over the hurdle?
Well, you know, obviously, Cheney and Seth Antrim had a tremendous football team this year. Mm-hmm. Wall coach, a lot of tremendous players there, and I think two of them may end up at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Power 5 schools. I mean, that they were that talented. You know, we learned a lot about ourselves. Number one, during the game, you can't make the mistakes that we made. We gave up a safety. You know, we turned the ball over for the final touchdown, and that was probably more on me than anybody else. And the fact that, you know, it's 3rd and 8, and we probably just should have run the football with 6 minutes to go and allow our defense to take over. Our defense that night only gave up 6 points to a tremendous Cheney offense. Mm-hmm. So we learned a lot as coaches there. Secondly, our kids learned that, you know, you got to be against a playoff caliber team, which Cheney was. You need to be near perfect, and that bode well for us later on. Against Dover, we went down. Dover, I know they ended up 5-6, but I think 4 of their losses were in overtime.
Sure.
Double overtime or triple overtime. That was a tremendous team. And anytime you can beat Dover down at Dover in Crater Stadium, it says a lot about your team. Our guys bounced back, and that's what you want, a championship team. They have the character to overcome adversity and then move on.
And we were talking about this before we went on air, but, I was mentioning to you that, you know, it is very difficult, not just in the state of Ohio, but really around the entire country for a public school. You know, a lot of times you see a lot of the parochial schools in the state finals, but Canfield being a single team town, with South Range being split off, you're not, Mooney, you guys played Ursuline in the playoffs, but a public school from a suburban community, that's a rarity to win a state title.
I'm not too sure how rare it is, to be honest with you, Justin. I'm glad we have the opportunity compete against everybody.
Yes.
Open enrollment schools, parochial schools. Mm-hmm. I'm glad our system is the way it is, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Because if it's split off, then there's always going to be what if.
Sure.
I think when you look at it, I'm not too sure what the numbers are, but the public schools have won a fair number. There's no doubt about that. It comes down to, no matter where you come from, what team you're playing, who you play for, on a Friday night, Saturday night, it's what you do between the white lines. And our guys proved that this year.
No doubt. So let's talk real quick about the Chardon game, because I know they were kind of your big hurdle in the past. And what did the lessons from, losing the previous year to Chardon teach you about getting past that hill this year?
Learned tremendous lessons in the losses, more so than probably in the wins. The goal was never to beat Chardon. The goal was to win a regional championship. But we knew to do that, you're going to face Chardon somewhere along the way.
Right.
And the lessons that we learned is, number one, you had to win the rushing battle. You could not allow them to maintain the possession of the football for large parts of each quarter, which they did the past 2 years against us. Secondly, you had to win the turnover battle. 2 years ago, we went up there, we turned the ball over 4 times in the first half, and before you knew it, we were down 24-0. Last year, it's 14-7 in the third quarter. We forced them to punt. We're inside their territory, driving for possibly the tying score, and we turn the ball over. You can't make those mistakes at a championship level game and expect to win. And this year, when we played Chardon, those mistakes weren't made.
And you guys obviously learned a lot and succeeded in that, especially in a really tight game too there. So, Mike, I got to ask you this, and this is something, I've never obviously been to that level of a state championship. When you woke up last Friday morning, What were you feeling? What were the nerves?
Obviously, there was a lot of nerves. Mm-hmm. And like we told our kids all week long, it's a football game. Treat it like a football game. Mm-hmm. At 3 o'clock, ball's going to get kicked off, and it's going to become a football game. And the team that plays better for the next 2.5 hours is probably going to win the football game. Obviously, when you woke up Saturday morning, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Our coaches, our players, there are some extra nerves there and some butterflies because of the magnitude of the game.
Mm-hmm. So, what changed? Did anything change for prep leading up to that film or anything getting ready?
No, I just, the process is the process. Mm-hmm. And, our coaches did a great job all weekend long breaking down tape. Our players did a tremendous job all week. And I learned a little bit about our guys. Obviously, you think you know everything, but you really don't. And what I learned during a championship week is that our linebackers had met every Wednesday night at, I believe, one of either Don Marzano or Danny Inglis's house, and they went over the tape one last time as far as the calls that Wally Hurley instituted and our defenses and our checks, and just to make sure that they were on the same page. Once a week, our quarterbacks, Brock Lowry, Paul Bindis, and the wide receivers, met virtually with Jim Ballard. Jim Ballard's a quarterback coach in Northeastern Ohio. He was Brock's quarterback coach growing up. And Jim would know our patterns, what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And you'd look at Bloom Carroll tape and their coverages, and he would point out to him, hey, this is where you've got to be. It's not like the old days where, you know, you say, okay, run down 10 yards and turn around and button
them. Right.
You know, you're reading coverages. You're trying to find soft spots. You're trying to find what we call open windows. Mm-hmm. And for those guys to spend time away from the facility, spend time away from home, and do one more film prep, I think speaks a lot to who they are, their character, to their competitiveness, because they wanted to be in the right positions for their teammates.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Going that extra mile means so much. Mm-hmm. And you guys really, really have a special football team there in Canfield. So, you know, I want to ask you about the community of Canfield in general. You know, I live in Canfield. I'm from Boardman. You know, it's a special place. It really is a great place. What makes that place special to you, and how did the community embrace you guys?
The community is just special because it's family oriented. It's school oriented. Mm-hmm. More than anything else, the families in camp of fortunate to teach there for, you know, over 20 some years, want their kids to get the best education possible. Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. Secondly, they want their kids to succeed in activities outside of school, band, choir, drama, speech, debate, and certainly your sports. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to do what they have to provide a first-class experience for their kids. Hey, paying money for going away to camps in the summertime, getting like a quarterback coach or a speed training coach, things that we provide, but they want to do a little bit more, which is wonderful. But, you know, I can't say enough about the community itself. I love the close-knit community. I love it. We're a closed public school. Mm-hmm. You want a Canfield education, move to Canfield. You want to play for Canfield or be in the band or drama club or whatever, move to Canfield. And I think that's a great thing that our Board of Education and our superintendent leadership, you know, have maintained over the years when a lot of people wanted to go outside. And there's nothing wrong with open enrollment schools.
Sure.
Nothing at all.
Right.
But I think one of the special things about our seniors this year is that they all grew up in Canfield.
Yep.
They played together since seventh grade, if not before, the Little Cardinals. And that special bond, I think, had to have a little bit of a factor into the success we had.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's really got to be cool. Because how long have you been the head coach?
At Canfield, 22 years.
22 years. Yeah. So you have seen these kids go from those Little Cardinals to now being your seniors. And, you know, probably even, I'm sure you had former players at the game they're watching, and you know, that's what makes it special. You have that family oriented, you know, and it's just really cool to see the community embrace you guys.
I appreciate that. And certainly that's the goal, is to provide a family oriented program. Mm-hmm. But certainly that doesn't happen unless the players, the parents, their families buy into it also. And the buy-in factor right now is pretty good.
That's great. That's great. And honestly, you talked about it, you know, you have several standout players on this team, but you know, these guys are all in it for the team. And you keep mentioning that word team. There's not an I. It's, you know, it's not about individuals. It's about that team.
And certainly you talked about past players, the 2005 team that was 14-0 and unfortunately lost in the state title game to Toledo Central Catholic, 31-29. We had a dozen of those guys write letters that we posted in the locker room throughout the week. And our kids spent time before practice, after practice, reading each one, taking snapshots of them, so they can have them forever. And for those guys to reach back out, and certainly, you know, with the ability to text people now, the number of text messages from former players are so appreciative of being a part of this run. Also, we had people drive up from Florida for the game. We had driving from Cincinnati for the game, and Columbus, and, you know, walking off the field and just yelling and you know, to be able to say hello just for a split second was something that I always remember.
That's so great. And, you know, you having that former experience in that 2005 game, you know how difficult it is get to a game of that magnitude. Did you kind of share, hey guys, don't take this for granted, embrace the moment while also playing in the game and going out to win?
Absolutely, Justin. You know, winning a game is difficult. Mm-hmm. The further you go in the playoffs, it becomes more difficult, especially if you put too much pressure on yourself.
Sure.
It's a football game. The team that runs the ball better, that tackles better, mm-hmm. that wins a turnover margin, they're going to win. And I think our guys really bought into that, especially as we got into later rounds in the playoffs. You know, you've got to be able to put everything else aside and make it a football game. And certainly during the game itself, when you thought that maybe the kids, you know, might have been veering off course a little bit against an Ursuline, against a Chardon, against Bloom Carroll last Friday afternoon, you're pulling back in. Or maybe in the regular season, you allow them to figure it out.
Yeah.
But Bloom Carroll scoring right before the half made that a ball game. We had pretty much dominated the first half, and they scored about 5 seconds ago. It's 14-7. What in the locker room is the guys? Did you think it was going to be easy?
Sure.
Adversity is going to happen in any game, certainly in a championship game. Mm-hmm. We need to go out, okay, and play the best half of football we've played, because that's all you have left. And if you play the best half of football, you know, the outcome's going to be pretty good.
When you're giving your either halftime speech or pregame speech to your team, are you a more even-keeled guy, or are you getting loud? And, you know, what's your mood?
I guess you're going to have to ask those guys. but it probably depends on the week.
Okay.
You know, there's certain times and in certain games where maybe they need a bit more of a kick in the butt.
Yeah.
And sometimes like a big game, you know. There wasn't much said before the Bloom Carroll game, because if you weren't excited to play in a state championship game, if you're not excited to play Poland, you're not excited to play Boardman, then my goodness, you shouldn't be wearing a C on your chest.
Sure. That's great. That's great. And let's talk a little bit about your coaching staff. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned some names earlier. Tell us, it's probably hard to single out individuals, but tell us about them, what makes them special, and what they did to help make this a championship team.
Well, you know, just blessed to be around a bunch of great guys. That's number one. When you go out and you look for assistant coaches, you want to hire good people that treat the kids the right way. You know, we're fortunate in Canfield that we've been able to do that. You know, offensively, I think we've got the finest offensive line coach in Angelo Seminero in the area. Angelo's been around the game of football since the 1990s, has coached at Warren Harding with Tom McDaniel, has coached at Holland with Dick Gango, has coached at West Branch with DJ Doda. And we were fortunate to get him to come to Canfield about 9 years ago.
Okay.
And he has grown within our program. His acumen for offensive line play is off the charts. You know, he would go and study with the Youngstown State guys. He would study with Carmen Priscilla, who was with the Patriots and is now with the Las Vegas Raiders as their offensive line coach. And just to try and pick up one little tidbit that would help our linemen.
Sure.
Our guys really buy into what Angelo does every day in practice and certainly in the weight room, during the wintertime. Running back coach Ryan Scaler is a new kid to us from McDonald Junior in college. Did an absolutely tremendous job in his first year, rotating guys in and out and learning our system. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a tremendous coach in the future. Wide receiver, we have Jason Morrell. Jason is also a baseball coach for us. Okay. We love guys who will coach multiple sports because it shows our kids we want you to be involved in multiple sports also. Mm-hmm. High school's for multiple sports. Sport athletes. And when you get to college, you can concentrate on one sport.
Sure.
In high school, play as many as you can. And helping Jason out is our offensive assistant, Matt Kopfeld. Matt's been with us for about 10 years. And then Jack Polani was an assistant line coach, played for us on the 2015 playoff team, and now is in med school down at Howard University.
Wow.
Defensively, you've got obviously Wally Hurdley. That is without a doubt, and I think most people will say this, the finest defensive coordinator in our area. And Wally spends an unbelievable amount of time putting together not only a game plan, but clips from huddle and shoots them out to our players so they can see specific situations that's going to face them on a Friday night. Defensive line coach Joe Ignazio came over from Boardman. You know, he's the only coach in Borman history to lead him to four playoff games, mm-hmm. or four playoff seasons, I should say. And we're fortunate to have him. His family lives in Canfield. Son Joey's in seventh grade on our football team. Alexis is a ninth grader. I'm sorry, 10th grader now, and runs track and plays softball. So it's great to have them. Our outside linebacker, Dan DiGiacomo, has been with me the longest. He's been with us since 2004, okay. has coached a number of spots. And then in the secondary, Cameron Terrasciotti played for us about 10 years ago, got into coaching. And, you know, he's now our defensive backfield coach, doing a tremendous job.
That's, and I mean, for you to rattle off all that information about each one of those guys, their history, just shows what kind of leader you are. You know their background. You go out, and like you said, you go get good people. Yeah,
I appreciate that. We're fortunate. And, you know, those guys there, even in our staff room, you know, the good times, yeah, obviously it's Friday nights and you're winning, you know, you enjoy that. But the memories are made within the staff room and in meetings, and, you know, how you come up with a plan to try and win a ball game.
No doubt. No doubt. And it truly takes a lot of people to get that done. Yep. So I got to ask you this, for people that maybe, you know, they know the Pavlansky name, but they don't know the whole history. I'm not going to make you go all the way back, but give us a little brief history of, you know, maybe the Pavlansky coaching tree, your guys' family and, you know, going back generations.
What's brief? An hour?
You got the mic. So up to you.
You know, obviously our dad was a teacher and a coach at Laetona and Cardinal Mooney, and then at Poland, head coach of Poland for 10 years. And we were able and fortunate to go out on the field with him when we were younger. He wanted us to be a part of that environment. And, you know, my brother Dave said it the best, that when we were growing up, the players of Poland, they were our Hall of Fame players, mm-hmm. and treated us so well and made us a part of their team every year. I always said this, you know, if our dad was involved in another profession, we probably would have followed that profession also.
Sure.
He never pushed us to be a coach. Our mom never pushed us to be a teacher or coach. They just wanted us to be happy. Mm-hmm. It was just a natural progression for us. So Dave, our oldest brother, Dave, still teaching over at Borman, mm-hmm. and coached football for a lot of years.
I played for Dave. Then,
got into the track, got the track bug, and now he's a level 2 track coach across the nation where mm-hmm. he travels and gives track clinics. Okay. And then we have our brother Pat, who's now still in Canfield, coaching JV girls basketball, but he's been a head coach at boys basketball at Lakeview, head girls coach at Canfield, also coaches tennis, and mm-hmm. Has coached track in the past and just enjoys the kids. Tom is the now head football coach over at Poland. He's our youngest brother, and he was, I think, 22 years head coach at Lakeview, 29 as total up there. And a couple of years ago, the Poland people decided, you know, they wanted to bring him on board. He's so happy to be there. And, mm-hmm. You know, out of all of them, and I think our brothers too, you take a ask us for a lie detector test. Tom's the best one. Poland got a good one. I know people aren't happy in that community about the record this year, but I'm going to tell you what, he did that basically with the JV team.
Yeah.
There were so many injuries to get them to the playoffs and lose by 1 point to a team that went to the, state semifinals in Jefferson.
Yeah.
Is an unbelievable accomplishment.
No doubt.
They got themselves a good one. All they need to do is get out of the way and let them take care of his kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the next generation, of, you know, his daughter at Kent State playing. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to work with Lauren, your daughter, and I know she's doing a great job over at South Range. Mm-hmm. And so you guys, just as a whole, fantastic coaching acumen and family. So we appreciate you, and I know all the kids that you guys have worked with appreciate what you guys have done for them. So best of luck to the whole Pavlansky clan coming up through the levels. I got to ask you that. Yeah. So I'm going to exclude anyone in your family on this one. So who is someone, maybe either growing up or in the current profession now, that either at the collegiate or pro level that maybe you look up to, or maybe you strive to say, I want that kind of style of play, or I want this kind of team?
Well, there's so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you can, narrow it down to one, to be honest with you. We've taken so much from so many different people. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to put a trigger to my head and say, give me one, there's no doubt it's President Tressel.
Okay.
Okay. My brother Dave was fortunate to be part of his first staff at Youngstown State in 1986 as a part-time assistant. That was a year I moved back from Kansas and had an assistant coaching teaching job at Lisbon. So okay. I was able to spend a lot of time, in the Youngstown State offices mm-hmm. and just see firsthand what happened, and then following President Trussell's career at Youngstown in Ohio State, and now back as the president here, you just wanted to take a little bit of what he did and how he treated people and put it into your program. And hopefully we've done that.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, you can't really, that's a perfect answer, especially in this community. Everyone looks up to Coach and President Trussell, and great person to be a role model of.
And there's so many more. I mean, mm-hmm. my goodness, you can sit here all day and talk about the Stoops family.
Sure.
Bob and Mark, and what Mark has done at Kentucky is an unbelievable job. And Michael, what he did at Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a Mark D'Antonio, a Donnie Treadwell. Those guys that I've been fortunate to go and sit in their rooms, most of them in their staff rooms, and just listen to them talk and X and O, and just really how you treat kids and how you get kids to come to that place. There's just so many. But, if you're going to ask for one, there's no doubt. And all those guys, or most of those guys, started with President Trussell.
That's fantastic. Great answer. So let me ask you this too. For someone that maybe is watching this now or watching in 2 years, they just stumble upon this show and they're like, you know what? I want to pick Coach Pavlansky's brain, but I want to be a coach someday. And maybe they're in high school, maybe they're in college. What would a piece of advice be for them if they want to get into coaching, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, mm-hmm. track, whatever it might be?
My goodness. Great question. One piece of advice is be 100% where you're at. Don't be looking down the road for another job or a bigger job or a better job. The best job you have is the one you've got. And be 100% there. And then secondly would be continue to learn. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate to be in the game for close to 40 years. Maybe this is my 40th year, I think. And I am hoping I can still learn something when I go mm-hmm. to clinics, when I talk to coaches on the phone, even through our assistant coaches. So you always got to be willing to learn and change and adapt. But probably the most important thing is to treat your student athletes the way you would want to be treated.
Awesome.
And that's how I think you can get a buy-in factor. They may not always agree with your decisions. Mm-hmm. They may not always agree with the playing time. But if you treat them the right way, there's a better chance they're going to buy in.
Love it, especially about that. A lot of times, and not singling anybody out or saying anything, but a lot of times people are looking for that next mm-hmm. job, and that's a wonderful answer. Be bought in yourself. If you want your players to be bought in, mm-hmm. you got to be bought in yourself.
And I heard this when I was a young coach. Most of the time when you get a job, people contact you. I said, that's probably not true. You can send your resume out, things like that. In 40 years of coaching, the jobs that I've had at Lisbon, I was contacted by Mark Cavell. At Mentor, I was contacted by Dick Kirschbaum. At Canfield, I was contacted by my brother Pat to come back and interview and become an assistant coach and a teacher in there. And so I've had three different jobs, and every one, it's true, they contact you. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a great job where you're at and not worried about where you're going to go, mm-hmm. People are going to get a hold of you.
No doubt. No doubt. I love it. Now, Coach, you have, a couple players on your team. I'm not sure how many, but you have some guys that are going to play at the next level. Yeah. I'm going to just use Brock as an example. Right. As mm-hmm. we know, he is, I believe, committed to Indiana.
Correct.
So, is he going to play quarterback at
yes,
the next
he
level?
Is.
That's
Absolutely.
The plan. Okay. Yeah. So Brock Lowry, quarterback, signed with Indiana, or going to sign here soon with Indiana. For a player like him, or a player out there that maybe they play for Warren, maybe they play mm-hmm. for Boardman, maybe they play for Jefferson or whatever right. it might be. They want to get recruited. They want to get to where Brock is at. Mm-hmm. What advice did you give to Brock as the recruiting process was going, or any of your former or future players? What advice would you give to them as they search for a college?
If you want to, obviously play at the next level, mm-hmm. you got to be willing to spend a lot of time, not only on the field perfecting your craft, but in the weight room, in speed training as you grow up. probably the thing that I would tell kids, and I've told our guys, is, hey, if you know, the earliest you know you want to play college football, freshman year, sophomore year, you got to get to camps. It's all about getting to camps.
Okay.
And, you know, we're fortunate, Mark Porter in the area.
Yeah.
He's able to give us some sound advice on where to go and what to look for. And Brock did that. Brock did that his freshman year, sophomore year, went to some different camps. And then the summer of his junior year, okay, he went to Iowa State. It was offered by Iowa State.
Okay.
He had gone to Cincinnati. He went through the Ohio State camps. He went to a Pitt camp. He went to a Michigan State camp. And those guys didn't offer, and that's fine. But at least his exposure was out there.
Sure.
And then you know, this past spring, when we had our throwing sessions in the springtime that you're allowed to have, Indiana came through and offered him on the spot. And that's a place he ended up visiting and going to. But it's really important this summer, in the month of June, that you get out to different camps for your level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're fortunate with Brock. He's a Power 5 kid.
Sure.
But there's other guys on our team that are MAC-level kids, that are Youngstown State-type kids, that are Division II-type kids. Those guys have camps, too.
Mm-hmm.
Go to those camps. It's a one-day workout for about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And get your name out there.
Absolutely. Great advice. Great advice. I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any rest?
Sleep is overrated. I found that out.
Absolutely.
But it's been fun. I'm not complaining. There's a day I'm sure it's all going to slow down and, you know, I'm going to crash a little bit, but, and then wonder, hey, let's get back into that whirlwind again.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it has been since the game ended Friday. It's just been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Reconnecting with so many old friends, people I haven't heard from in 20 some years, and classmates from Poland back in 1981 have reached out, which has just been unbelievable to reconnect with them. Coaches I haven't talked to, and certainly are my best friends in the coaching fraternities. They've reached out immediately, and they're still doing it here, and it's Tuesday afternoon, and you know, trying to get things set up so we can honor our guys.
Yeah.
The city of Canfield is going to have a parade for us and the South Range football team on December 18th, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make sure it's being done the right way to you know, recognize what these kids have done.
Yes.
And if it takes away a few hours of sleep, then so be it.
No doubt. No doubt. You'll be able to catch up on that sleep later. But you have definitely put in the hours. For someone that isn't in the coaching profession or doesn't understand the hours it takes, film study, practices, working with the players, just doing all the behind the scenes stuff. Give them a little sneak peek into maybe a day in the practice. So let's hypothetically say you're playing Friday. Uh-huh. Let's hypothetically say, what's a Wednesday look like for Mike Pavlansky?
Oh my gosh. And again, you know, I'm going to preface this answer, Justin. It's a great question. There's no doubt, because it's, you know, especially for kids, for young people who want to get involved in the coaching profession.
Mm-hmm.
High school coaching is less time than college coaching. College coaching is probably less time than professional coaching. So this is the passion that I have and the lifestyle I want to live. So on a Wednesday, we're going to meet with our varsity players at 7:15 a.m. for films for 20 minutes before they go off the homeroom. And then now being a retired teacher, you know, before I'd go teach six periods a day.
Yeah.
And then go plan practice for an hour and then go to practice. Well, now being retired, I'm able to go to the stadium. I get to the stadium by 7:45 in the morning. And, you know, from 7:45 until usually about 9:30, I'm planning out practice for offense, because Wally and our special teams guys do that part of practice. And what's planning practice? It's on a Wednesday, we're looking at usually our goal line package. So I'm watching goal line tape of our opponent. Okay. And then usually our 2-minute offense.
Okay.
So we're looking at the last 2 minutes of a half in a game of our opponent, what coverages they're in and what they're going to use. We usually have about a 10-play, what we call group script, for pass game and then for run game.
Okay.
And then we have usually about a 12-play script for team. So 8 and 10s, 18, 12, 30 plays I've got to be able to draw up according to formation defense. And again, that would take me from 7:45 to about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to look at 10 to 11:30. We're going to look at special team till film again. On Thursdays, it's our punt team and all our fakes on our punt. It's punt return and our blocks that you're trying to match up with your opponent.
Sure.
Is that'll get me to lunchtime. And at lunchtime, I'll go in and see the kids in the cafeteria. 12:30, I have lunch with all my old friends in the social studies department. And then at 1 o'clock, you're back out in a stadium and you're writing notes on the board. Kids are filtering in and you're just getting ready for practice. Practice 2:45 team meeting. Okay. And then we're on the practice field on the Wednesday at 3:20 and we're off at 5:30. And then, the other commitment after 5:30, you have your staff meeting until about 6:15, and then plan out Thursday's walkthrough. And at 7 o'clock, I usually have a YSN interview. And about 8 o'clock, we'll call it a day.
That's, I mean, that is one day in the life of Mike Pavlansky. You know, I'm sure there's some coaches out there taking some copious notes that are trying to emulate.
And it's a fun day. It's, you know, people say if you have a passion for something, you're not
working. You're not working. Yep.
That's not working.
No doubt. I love it. I love it. All right, Coach. Well, I want to ask you just a couple more before we get you out of here. I know you got a busy week and you've been doing a lot. This is a question I like to ask no matter what sport it might be. Do you, and this is can be a yes or no, or you can expand on this. Do you enjoy winning more or despise losing more?
And certainly the losses stay with you. There's no doubt about that. You know, if you're a competitive person, okay, the losses eat at you a lot more. Winning will take care of itself. And obviously you have a high and a joy from winning. Nothing like last Friday night.
Right.
You know, but the losses, because you look at yourself and what could we have done better to put our kids in a better situation? And, you know, those losses, I probably remember more losses than I do wins.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Okay. That's good. Now, to piggyback off of that question. So, you know, you guys, like you mentioned, they scored before halftime, Bloom Carroll. So made it a game, but late in that fourth quarter, you kind of had the game iced. When, you know, you don't have to like not approximate time, but when you knew the game was finally put away, you know, there wasn't going to be these Hail Marys and onside kicks and, you know, this miraculous comeback. When you knew we got this, what was that feeling like?
Well, the first thing I thought about were our seniors, Justin, and I wanted to make sure we got every senior on the field somehow, some way. So even just to stand there when we're kneeling down to say that they were on the field for a play in a state championship game at the Hall of Fame Stadium. One of the neat stories, I'm getting chills right now thinking about it, is our senior captain, Nicolo Coca. Nicolo, senior defensive back, first game of the year in the third quarter, tore his ACL. Okay, and now we've lost him for the year.
Yeah.
And he has rehabbed and been around our team every day, came out and coached the young DBs that took his spot, encouraged his senior teammates. He's now up to jogging, okay? And Thursday at our team dinner, he grabbed me and says, "Coach, do you mind if I dress for pregame and go through pregame with the kids, with my teammates, and then I'll just take my uniform off and be in street clothes?" I said, "That's absolutely fine."
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Friday came after our team meeting at 10:30 in the morning at the high school before we left. He came and said, "Coach, do you mind if I just stay in my uniforms?" I said, "Yeah, you could do what you want, Nicole." Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. We got him on the field just to stand there on the last two offensive snaps. You know, when we were taking a knee. So he was on the field when the clock's at 0:00, you know, and winning a state title.
I mean, that's a neat thing. That's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yep.
You know, and special people, special memories. And, you know, Canfield Cardinals, that's something they can never take away from you guys. 2022 state champions. So, Coach, I just want to thank you for coming out. Taking the time. I know you got a whirlwind week, you know, and I mean, the season's over and you're just as busy right now. Yeah. I got to ask you, like, when's it getting cranked up again for 2023?
Be honest with you, Justin, not soon enough. We got to take 30 days off according to the state.
So
we get back after the holiday break.
Okay.
That first week of January, we'll start with our juniors and sophomores and our freshmen and that aren't involved in winter sports and get going after next year. But I just want to take a moment and thank you okay, for what you did for my daughter, Lauren, and being a role model you are for her, because that's why she's in coaching. I appreciate that.
And, you know, she wouldn't be the kid she was without you, but that means a lot to me. And, you know, again, I just want to thank you for taking your time out, busy schedule, and just physically coming down here when you didn't have to do that. So I'd like to congratulate you, the Canfield community, your entire team, your staff. What a great season and great legacy that these kids, I'm talking, my niece is third, you know, I have a first grader and a third grader at Canfield that are my two nieces, and they're suddenly into football now. Yeah. So, you know, little things like that, they're going to remember the rest of their lives. And, you know, that's thanks to you and your team. So
appreciate it.
Best wishes to you guys. And again, congratulations to not only Canfield, but South Range as well on just an amazing accomplishment. So for Mike, for joining us, Coach Pavlansky, my name is Justin. We got Joe and Joey doing the stuff behind the scenes for us today. This has been the 330 Sports Show. We appreciate you guys watching and listening. Make sure to follow us on social media for all kinds of updates. So we appreciate you guys listening. We will see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we...